Today's agenda, Paul before Governor Felix. And Paul is brought before King Agrippa and Bernice. He tells of his conversion, his witness to the Jews and Gentiles. Paul then appears to Agrippa and asks him and appeals to him to believe in Jesus, believe it or not. Then there was a great storm at sea while he was on the ship on his way to Rome, and the ship was wrecked. This is the story of his travels to Rome. Acts 24, 1 and onwards. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus. Tertullus informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse Paul, saying, "Seeing that by you we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by your providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto you. I just ask you, would you please hear us out, and with your clemency, give us space for a few words? For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect called the Nazarenes. This man has also gone about to profane the temple. We took him and would have judged him according to our law, but the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him out of our hands. And he commanded his accusers to come unto you, by examining of whom you yourself may take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also asserted, saying that these things were so." Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him, "Come on over here and talk with us, to speak," he answered, saying, "Forasmuch as I know that you have been of many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself. I don't need an attorney. Because you may understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove any of the things whereof they now accuse me. But I confess this unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all the things that were written in the law and in the prophets. And we have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a clean conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came back to Jerusalem to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. I wasn't causing trouble. These ought to be here to accuse me and to object if they had anything against me. Or else let these same ones here have their say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. There may be one exception, and that would be for this one thing that I shouted, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." Now when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge about all of this way of Jesus and so on, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded this centurion to keep Paul and to let him have much liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to come and bring things to him and minister unto him. And after certain days, when Felix had come with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, by the way, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go your way for now. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." He hoped also that money should have been given to him by Paul, in other words, a bribe, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the jailer, and commanded him, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's place, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure before he left office, left Paul bound. Now, when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him, desiring favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem. There they wanted to lay in wait for Paul to kill him on the way. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly to that city. "Let them therefore," he said, "which are among you that are able, go down with me, and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him." And when he had stayed a long time with them, actually more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he had come in, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about Paul, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, none of which they could prove. While he answered for himself these words, "Neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all." But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Will you go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" And Paul said, "I stand in Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things, whereof these accuse me, no man can deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Have you appealed unto Caesar? Then unto Caesar you shall go." And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was come into Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, so that he might die. To these people I answered, 'It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused has faced his accusers and have had license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.' Therefore, when they were come here, without any delay, on the next day I sat at the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I suppose they would, but instead certain questions against him about their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul claims is still alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved to the hearing of Augustus Caesar, I commanded him to be kept until I might send him there." Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would hear this man myself. Let's do it tomorrow, he said. You shall hear him. So on the morrow, when King Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, he entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city. At Festus' commandment, Paul also was brought together with them. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all men which are here present with us, you see this man. He's the one about whom the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both in Jerusalem and also here in this city, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus Caesar, I determined to send him there. This is the same one whom I have no certain thing to write unto you, my lord. Wherefore, I have brought him forth before you in person, and especially before you, O King Agrippa, that after examination I might have someone to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not lay the charges or crimes laid against him. Then, when King Agrippa said this, he told Paul, You are permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, O King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all the things whereof I am accused by the Jews, especially because I know you to be expert in all the customs and questions of the Jews. Wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation in Jerusalem, as the Jews full well know, these are the ones who knew me from the beginning, if they would just testify that after the most straitest sect of the Pharisees, I lived as a Pharisee in our religion. And now I stand and am being judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which the promise came to our 12 tribes, and instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. And so for this reason, for this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a strange thing, an incredible thing to you, that God should raise the dead? He can do whatever he wants. I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know that I did several things in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up into prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I stood there and gave my voice against them. And I punished them oftentimes in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even to strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus one day with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a bright light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around us and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise and stand up on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this very purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of these things which you have seen today and of those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of the devil unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are set apart by faith that is in me. Upon this, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should all repent and turn to God and do works fitting for repentance. For these causes the Jews came and caught me in the temple, and were about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great alike, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, and even to the Gentiles. And thus he spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Your great learning has made you mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from you. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether as I am, except for these chains. And when he had spoken like this, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they sat with them all. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man hasn't done anything worthy of death or even of chains. Then said King Agrippa to Festus, This man might have been set free had he not appealed to Caesar. And when it was determined that we should sail to Italy to go to Rome, then delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band, and entering into a ship at Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched down at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul, and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to be refreshed. And when we had launched from there, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. When we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there was a certain centurion found. He found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us thereon. And when we had sailed slowly for many days, and scarce were come over against Sidonus, the wind was not allowing us to go where we needed to go. So we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came to a place which is called the Fair Havens, near to a city called Lasia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And Paul told them, Sirs, I believe and perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which Paul had spoken. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to leave at once, if by any means they might obtain to Phoenice. That way they could winter there, which is a haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, they supposed that they had obtained their purpose. Loosing from there, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after this, there arose against it a great tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, a nor'easter. And when the ship was caught in this mess, and it could not bear up against the wind, we let her drive wild. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship with ropes, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so be driven. And so we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, in the next day we lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars for many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, we all gave up hope that we, our lives, would be saved. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have listened to me, and that way we would not have loosed from Crete and suffered this damage. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. And he said this, Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. So God has given you all of them that sail with you. For this reason, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he has told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they should draw near to some country. And they took soundings and found it 20 fathoms deep. And when they had gone on a little further, they sounded again and found it at 15 fathoms. They're getting near the shore. Then fearing lest we should fall upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. But the ship's men were about to flee out of the lifeboat, but when they had let it down into the water under the color as though they would have cast anchors out behind the ship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these shipmen stay with the boat, we cannot live. So the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let it fall off and drift away before they could get in. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to eat something, saying, This day is the 14th day that you have stayed and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore, I tell you right now, take some food. It's for your health, for there shall not a hair of anyone's head perish. And when he had said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in front of everybody, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some food. And when they were all in the ship, 260 souls. And when they had eaten their fill, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. This they did to lighten the ship. And when it was day, they knew not the land that they had discovered, but there was a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded to put in, if it were possible, to thrust the ship into it. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea. They jumped in the water and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was then broken up by the violence of the waves, and the soldiers advised that we should kill all the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. He then commanded them that they should swim, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, drifted in shore. And so it came to pass that they all escaped alive to the land. And when they had escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people that lived there showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had kindled a fire and gathered a bundle of sticks to lay on the fire, a viper came out of the sticks and out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw this venomous beast hanging on Paul's hand, they said amongst themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he had escaped from the sea, now suffers vengeance and will not be suffered to live." But he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, when they looked that he should have swollen up or fallen down dead suddenly, afterward they looked at him for a long time and found no harm had come to him. Then they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters there were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, whom received us and lodged us there 3 days very courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul, when he had entered in and prayed, laid his hands on, and he healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases on the island came to him and were healed by him, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with many things as were necessary for our health. And after 3 months, we departed by a ship of Alexandria. We wintered on an island whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there for about 3 days. From there, we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found the brethren, and we desired to tarry with them for 7 days, and so we went on toward Rome after that. From there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii in the Forum there. In the 3 taverns whom Paul saw, we thanked and took courage from there. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief Jews together. And when they had come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against this, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I have anything to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have been called before you, and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound by this chain." And they said unto him, "We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of you. But we desire to hear you ourselves, and to see what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." And when they had appointed him a day, there came many unto him, unto his own house, to whom he expounded and testified about the kingdom of God. He persuaded them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some didn't. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they split. And after that, Paul spoke one word, "Well has the Holy Spirit by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet said unto our fathers, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this heart of the people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known unto you, therefore, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said all of these words, the Jews departed and had a great reasoning and argument amongst themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him.